2020 sure has been a strange year thus far, hasn't it? The pandemic is the obvious big thing, and all of the changes it has forced upon pretty much the entire world. Facebook has been replete with memes about how things can't get any worse. And then this week, we have giant Asian murder wasps. I am somewhat skeptical they're going to announce their presence around Bristol Bay anytime soon. But it sure has some folks in the lower 48 buzzing. I've shared on here before that I think we face maybe more dangers of various sorts than people in other places, from our weather to potential travel dangers to the very land itself being unforgiving. Murder wasp would just have to take a number. I also think that the potential dangers we face around here are sometimes overblown and mostly put to rest with good planning and sound decision-making. One of those I have talked about before and, because of the time of year, plan to talk about again today. Living and working around bears, which mostly for us means brown bears, and as they once again enter the waking world with us. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. As near as I can tell, the last time I talked about bears was over 3 years ago. Fact is, people come and people go. There are probably a fair amount of listeners today who weren't here the last time bear safety was a topic. Also, it's easy enough to not remember something that was shared over the course of 10 minutes over 36 months ago, so there's that. With people itching to get outside in whatever capacity possible, and summer upon us, now seems like a dandy time. Let's first consider this by the numbers. Using information shared in an article by Alaska Dispatch News and as compiled by the Wildlife Research Institute, people are 45 times more likely to be killed by a dog than by a bear, 120 times more likely to be killed by bees, and a whopping 250 times more likely to be killed by lightning. I don't have any murder wasp stats, if such a thing even exists. With a name like that, you never know. Also, you don't even want to know how many risks you take each and every day getting in and out of that death trap you call a car or truck. Now, some of this is, no doubt, a bit of twisting of the numbers. A lot of it has to do with how you live your life and also where you choose to live it. For example, folks in Barrow most likely run a much lower risk of death by tornado than people in central Kansas, a thing those living in Montana can claim when it comes to deaths by shark attack. We live in Alaska. Alaska has bears. A lot of them when considered against bear populations worldwide. Our territories overlap. There are bound to be run-ins, attacks, and, occasionally, fatalities. Even so, you should know that the actual chances of a fatal attack are exceedingly low. Every day, I still see people getting into planes and cars, oohing and aahing over puppies on the trading post, and going boating on pretty summer days. All of those things carry a higher risk of death than bears, but people still do them. Perhaps it's the fact that those things lack the scary claws and teeth of bears, so we don't tend to think of them as dangerous at all. Okay, so maybe I'm being just a bit glib, but there's still truth to what I say. Far more people die up here every year by way of drowning, hypothermia, and small plane crashes. That's just a simple truth. Really, in considering the topic of living and dealing with wildlife, from a safety standpoint, there's only a few species that even hit the radar, and bears are at the top of the list. No one ventures into the woods concerned about hyper-aggressive red-backed voles or mob-mentality spruce hens. Moose are certainly worthy of caution, much more so in my opinion, but it's the bears that most often command attention. I should mention I don't hold myself out to be a bear expert, but by virtue of my job, I have to undergo firearms and pepper spray training each year and bear safety classroom training every 3 years. So I get a chance to hear and practice information related to bear safety on a regular basis. Also, I spend a lot of time outdoors in bear country, both professionally and personally, just like a lot of you. That said, though I've been close to bears on a number of occasions, I've never been charged by one or had anything resembling an incident. I'd like to think the many hours of training I've had would be helpful, if something ever really did happen. However, as former heavyweight champ Mike Tyson once famously opined, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. The overwhelming majority of potentially dangerous bear encounters happen for a fairly limited number of reasons. Those reasons are a sow with cubs, close proximity to a food source, crowding a bear, and surprise encounters. Those reasons likely cover over 99% of all potentially dangerous bear encounters. Sows are uber protective of their young, make every effort to avoid getting in close quarters with sows and cubs. Also, try to avoid food sources if you know they are there or near. I'm talking about things like really small streams that are thickly choked with spawning salmon or large carcasses such as moose, caribou, and marine mammals. Surprise encounters are obviously something you can't predict, but you can lessen the chances of one happening by doing things like avoiding places that would provide for a better opportunity for that to happen, such as traveling through thick timber on a bear trail. And never purposefully crowd bears. I've seen or heard about people doing really idiotic stuff just to try and get a picture of a bear with their camera or phone. Those are the types of folks who are doing everything in their power to land themselves a Darwin Award. It should be noted that there are three types of bears in Alaska: brown, black, and polar. If you've got your hand in the air wanting to offer up a fourth, grizzly, you can put it back down. Grizzlies and browns are one and the same, but for the preponderance of fish in their diets. I'm going to kick polar bears to the curb because you have almost as great a chance of running across a tiger or crocodile around here. If you're headed north into polar bear country, then by all means check into appropriate safety measures for polar bears. So let's start with brown bears. We do have black bears in the area, but brown bears are far more numerous. If you find yourself in a close encounter with a brown bear, here are some things to keep in mind. If you see the bear and it doesn't see you, turn around and go back. Don't disturb it. If it sees you, don't panic. Stand your ground and identify yourself. Stand tall, wave your arms, speak in a loud and low voice. I have done this several times myself, and in every instance the bear has turned and ran. So either the tactic works or my deodorant really isn't doing what it claims. Whatever else you do, don't run. That triggers them to want to chase. They're hardwired to do that, just like pretty much every other large predator. Whatever you might think of your athletic skills, you can't outrun a bear. Take me at my word on that. I have read that bears have been clocked doing as much as 40 miles per hour and more through heavy brush. I read an article that said they can outrun a quarter horse over 200 yards. That's faster than Usain Bolt, the fastest human on the planet. You're no Usain Bolt, and neither am I. Stand your ground or back away slowly and diagonally. If they stand up, that's actually not a bad thing. They're a curious animal, and standing is an action of curiosity. They will often stand to get a better look or a better whiff. If the bear starts to follow, stop. At this point, it's possible a charge is imminent. Keep in mind that the vast majority of charges are bluff charges. Many times they'll charge to within a few feet before veering off. I realize that's too late in the game to salvage your undergarments, but it does provide for not needing immediate medical attention. If contact is made, it's time to drop into a fetal position and play dead, covering your head and protecting your belly. Surprised bears usually stop attacking once they see that you're no longer a threat. Switching to black bears. If it's a black bear, always fight back if attacked. Studies have shown that black bear attacks are most often predatory in nature, the bear is hungry, and the person is seen as a food source, so fight back for all you're worth. Use heavy objects to strike the bear if you have anything near. Concentrate your blows on the face, eyes, nose, and snout. Aside from what to do in the case of unexpected close encounters, there are some things to do that can provide for a higher margin of safety while you're out there doing your thing, be it hunting, fishing, hiking, or just camping. The biggest thing is to stay away from high-use bear areas and keep your camp clean. For example, a gravel bar littered in dead salmon probably isn't your best bet for a campsite. Keep your cook area separate from where you sleep, and never ever have food in your sleeping area. Keep your trash contained and away from your sleep area. Try to limit smelly items in camp. Make a lot of noise when you travel, and if possible, keep the wind at your back. Though these really aren't viable options if you happen to be hunting. Travel with groups when possible and avoid being out there alone. Carrying protection is a good idea, but I strongly urge you to practice with whatever you carry and be utterly proficient with it, whether it's bear spray or a firearm. The bottom line is we live where there are bears and a fair number of them. I personally think that's a very cool thing, and it adds to the mystique of Alaska. Bears are real, but there are far more dangerous and statistically more likely causes of death to be found around Alaska than bears. Plan well and exercise caution. That's about the best you can do for anything. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.